bright glowing bird is singing for me. It's the bounce in my step and the milk in my tea. It's a bright glowing bird is singing for me.
You're listening to The Arbling Chronicles, a series of children's storytelling hours by Bridget McCone, produced by Heather MacLeod. Today's story is Bonsai Empty Nest, read by Bridget McCone. Featuring music written, produced and arranged by Tricia O'Keefe. An additional commentary and insight from the girls of St Patrick's Girls National School, Ringsend. This series was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Singing to it, with twitter, twitter, to it, truly, is a bright glowing bird, is singing for me. As it flies through the skies, wonder what can it see? Bright glowing bird, which you sang just for me. Singing to it, with twitter, twitter, to it, truly. As we dance in the streets, and it sits in the tree. Flying up, flying high, looking over the sea. It's a bright glow.
The sun peeked round a cloud and shed a few rays onto the city of Erblin. A small bird flew across the grey, cloudy sky and was caught by one of the sunbeams. It lit up in the yellow glow, showing a crest of the brightest red and a tail of shiny metal blue. The bright, glowing bird gave a call, wild and musical all at the same time. It set the telephone wires humming and the heartstrings twanging. People who heard it tingled from head to toe and started thinking strange thoughts about buying motorbikes. Below the soaring bird stretched a traffic jam, packed with small, sweaty metal boxes on wheels. A few of the sweaty, irritated people inside had their windows rolled down, heard the glowing bird, and caught the tingles. They imagined what it would be like to zip through the traffic on a motorbike with the wind in their hair. They imagined what it would be like to fly. Not to fly in an aeroplane, which is really only a small, sweaty box that happens to be in the sky, but to really fly. To sail on the winds and sniff the air at 5,000 feet and see if it smelled any different. Strange thoughts for the people of Erblin. Mrs. Pruner wasn't in a car or an aeroplane or even on a motorbike when she heard the glowing bird's call. She was in a neat little house with ruffles, and she was having an argument with Mr. Pruner.
"Jimmy's living on Skid Row. Did you know that?"
yelled Mrs. Pruner. Mr. Pruner stared at his wife and gulped.
"Darling, if Jimmy wanted to move back in with us, he'd tell us, don't you think?"
"Ha!"
boomed Mrs. Pruner. She had a way of saying "ha" that made Mr. Pruner feel very, very small.
"Jimmy's just been stubborn. He can't stay where he's staying, the cheapest, most rubbishing flats in the whole city. I've already spoken with Mr. Puddleflop, the landlord, and told him that our Jimmy is moving out."
"Oh dear, I think Jimmy will be very angry when he finds out that you've done that, darling,"
trembled Mr. Pruner.
"He was really happy about living on his own, and after all, he has to move out sooner or later."
"I don't see that,"
huffed Mrs. Pruner, sticking her chin out in a stubborn way.
"I think..."
Right at that moment, she was interrupted by the call of the glowing bird, which drifted in through her net curtains and set her tingling. She gasped.
"Oh! Oh! Oh!"
"What a beautiful sound,"
sighed Mr. Pruner, bald patch tingling. A wide smile rolled over his face. The bird called again, and the Pruners shivered as one. Squinting out the window into the clear blue sky, they spotted the glowing bird soaring over their heads. Another sunbeam caught the bird's feathers and showed the Pruners the rich crimsons and blues.
"What a lovely bird,"
gasped Mr. Pruner, smiling and imagining his wispy hair being blown by the wind as he rode down the road on a motorbike.
"Yes, lovely,"
agreed Mrs. Pruner, the hard lines on her face looking softer for a moment. Then they grew hard again and she stuck out her chin.
"I want it."
"What?"
gurgled Mr. Pruner.
"The bird. I want it. We could keep it in our room. It could live with Buster."
Buster was a shabby grey bird who lived in a cage in the corner and never preened his dusty feathers. When he heard his name, he lifted his head for a moment and croaked before letting it sink again.
"Why do you want another bird, darling? You already have Buster,"
begged Mr. Pruner without much hope. His wife looked disgusted.
"Buster, huh? creature's boring. You can't compare a beautiful musical bird that glows in the sunlight with a shabby grey croaky bird like Buster. I want that bird.
Darling,
sighed Mr. Pruner. Just then the front door slammed. And a loud voice yelled,
Well!
The Pruners jumped.
Do you think Jimmy needs Mrs. Pruner to take care of him? No, because I think Jimmy is too old to be taken care of. Well, he is our son, you know. And I think she's just, like, really angry that, like, she's going to lose our son. Like, he's going to grow bigger and he won't be our little boy anymore. You see, they won't be able to grow up like real children if their mums don't let them grow up. The family, like, there's some parts they're angry, some part they're loud, some part they're soft.
Jimmy Pruner, the Pruner's son, marched into the room chin first.
Mother!
He shouted.
Yes, darling!
Said Mrs. Pruner sweetly.
Don't you, yes, darling, me!
Yelled Jimmy.
I've just been thrown out of my flat. Mr. Puddleflump said you told him I was moving out. I tried to tell him that it was all a big mistake, but he'd already given the room to someone else. I have nowhere to live and...
He took a deep breath for a really good yell.
It's all your fault!
Mrs. Pruner stuck her chin out.
It's not my fault, Jimmy. It's your fault! You are the one who wouldn't keep the flat tidy. You could catch a horrible disease. You didn't even have a bed. No son of mine is going to sleep on a dirty mattress in the middle of the floor.
Well, thanks to you, I don't have anywhere to sleep.
Yelled Jimmy.
Nonsense! You can come and move back in with me and your father. It's nice and tidy here.
Jimmy looked around at the dusted ornaments, at the bonsai trees in neat little pots sitting on the window. A bonsai tree is just the same as a normal tree, except it's been clipped and potted and snipped and knotted until it's only as high as your hand. Jimmy hated bonsai trees.
But, Mummy!
He moaned, forgetting that he'd decided to call Mrs. Pruner Mother to show how grown up he was.
I don't want to move back here. I want to be free!
The glowing bird's call echoed through the room again. All three Pruners shivered at the same time.
That's beautiful,
gasped Jimmy, picturing himself zipping down an empty road on a motorbike with nobody knowing where he was going. He sighed. Mrs. Pruner's eyes glowed like the bird.
All right, Jimmy. You can prove yourself. If you catch that bird, then I let you move out and never, ever meddle in your life again.
But, darling, that doesn't make any sense,
trembled Mr. Pruner.
If you're really doing all this for Jimmy's own good, then you shouldn't be trying to blackmail.
Shut up,
Mrs. Pruner barked.
I want that bird!
She folded her arms across her huge, flowery chest and narrowed her eyes.
Well, Jimmy, what is it going to be?
Jimmy sighed and looked around at the neatness. The ruffles and the carefully clipped bonsai plants. He looked at Buster's dirty grey feathers and sad, hollow eyes. He sighed again.
All right, Mother, I'll try to catch the bird.
Mrs. Pruner beamed.
When I wake every morning, the first thing I see is a bright glowing bird. Is it singing for me? Is it bouncing my step and the milk in my tea? It's a bright glowing bird. Is it singing for me? Singing to it, with twitter, twitter, to it, truly. Is a bright glowing bird. Is it singing for me? As it flies through the skies, wonder what can it see? That bright glowing bird, she sang just for me.
Every afternoon, Mrs. Pruner went to the homeless shelter on Pinchpenny Corner to help serve lunch and dinner to the homeless people. Many of the homeless people were dirty and ragged, and Mrs. Pruner felt she should care for them. She was a very caring person. She would care for anything she could get her hands on.
Did any of you hear that bird calling this morning?
She asked, wiping her hands and chatting to the other helpers as she got ready to serve lunch.
Actually, began
Cedric, a tall, thin helper who looked like a mop.
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Mrs. Pruner sighed.
I wish I could listen to it all day.
I thought, Cedric began again.
But of course it went and flew off. That's the trouble with birds. They never stay in one spot. It'd break your heart.
But,
said Cedric.
I've asked my son to catch it for me, but I don't suppose he'll be able to.
A homeless man on a nearby table gave Mrs. Pruner a nasty shock by talking.
Don't catch her, Mrs.
He croaked. His voice cracked from years of breathing other people's car smoke.
Why?
Mrs. Pruner gaped.
I won't be able to hear him if you catch him.
The old man coughed.
I didn't think that would matter to...
Mrs. Pruner stopped herself. She was in terrible danger of saying something that would sound uncaring. Instead, she said...
Oh.
Whenever I hear his call, it makes me feel lighter inside. He gives me hope. I love that bird.
The old man said. Other homeless people nodded. A scruffy woman spoke up.
He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, if you live in a big house or no house at all. He doesn't sell his songs or buy his freedom. His music is for everyone.
She laughed, showing gaps where teeth were missing. Mrs. Pruner wrinkled her nose.
Well, maybe I won't be able to catch him,
she said.
You're not still going to try,
whispered Cedric.
Of course I am,
Mrs. Pruner whispered back.
But you see how much this bird means to them. Much more than he'll ever mean to you.
Cedric sniffed.
Ha!
Mrs. Pruner boomed.
I feed them and I care for them and I never ask for anything back. I help the homeless out of the goodness of my heart. Now I want one thing. One thing to make me happy. And you don't think I deserve it.
She wobbled her lip at Cedric. Cedric snorted.
It's all about you, isn't it?
He sighed and cheered himself up by thinking about his chances of a promotion.
When the birds are free, everybody can enjoy their singing and looking at them. But if you catch them, the two people can look at it and hear the singing.
Where she wants to catch this bird and she won't let her son do any and move out until he catches the bird.
While the homeless were eating stew in the shelter, Jimmy was climbing the stairs of the office. The office was a huge tall building that towered over Erblin, and Jimmy worked near the bottom of it. He should have taken the lift, but he was afraid he'd run into someone who'd ask him where he was going, why he wasn't working, and what he was doing carrying a very big net. After climbing hundreds and hundreds of stairs on the mouldy concrete staircase, Jimmy's legs burned and sweat poured from him. But finally, he reached the top of the whole office. He swung the door open and staggered out onto the roof. Fresh air hit him in the face, air that smelled of ice and frozen clouds. Legs trembling, Jimmy walked to the edge of the tower to look out over Erblin and see if he could spot the glowing bird and find out where it nested. The skies were empty. He looked down and saw all of Erblin spread below him. For the first time, Jimmy saw how grey it all was, how concrete. His eyes picked out the little patches of colour, the green parks, the purple swamps walled in and forgotten. Suddenly, the voice of the wild screeched into his ear. He leapt into the air and fell backwards onto the roof. The voice called again, with fierce music that set his bones humming. The glowing bird landed next to his foot. He didn't dare move or breathe, except to move his eyes from the glowing blue of the bird's tail to the burning red of the bird's head. It was probably the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. The bird cocked its head to the side and looked at him with deep, dark eyes.
Oh,
breathed Jimmy. The bird answered with a soft, warbling coo that rippled through his blood.
You're magic, aren't you?
He breathed. With a soft pitter-patter of scaly feet, the bird shuffled up to Jimmy's head. Slowly, he stretched his hand out and rubbed the soft feathers, felt the heart racing underneath. His other hand dropped the net. He sighed again.
Will you be my pet?
The bird gave a spine-jangling screech and flew off in a flurry of feathers. Jimmy stared at the spot where the bird had been, so suddenly there and so suddenly gone. So that was freedom.
Singing to with Twitter, Twitter, to with truly, as we dance in the streets and it sits in the tree, flying up, flying high, looking over the sea. It's a bright glowing bird, and it seems close to spring.
The worst thing about having a life-changing experience is getting back to normal life and finding out it hasn't changed at all. When Jimmy came down from the roof, everything looked greyer and smaller. When he stepped into the house that evening, Mrs. Pruner pounced.
Jimmy, did you get it?
What?
Jimmy asked sweetly.
The bird! The glowing bird, of course!
She yelled back.
Hello, Jimmy.
Mr. Pruner muttered from somewhere behind her.
Hello, Father.
Answered Jimmy.
Never mind him. Talk to me. What about the bird? Did you catch it?
Mrs. Pruner burst out.
No,
answered Jimmy. Mrs. Pruner spluttered. To everyone's surprise, Mr. Pruner broke the silence.
I'm glad you're here now, Jimmy. I wanted both of you here to hear what I have to say,
he said quietly.
What?
Demanded Mrs. Pruner and Jimmy at the same time. Mr. Pruner paused and started to tremble. His bald patch grew pink.
I'll just go change my clothes. I have some new clothes. Wearing them will make me brave enough to tell you.
With that, he scampered away, leaving Mrs. Pruner and Jimmy to blink at each other. Mr. Pruner hurried back into the room.
Archie!
Gasped Mrs. Pruner when she saw her husband, Archie Pruner, in his new clothes.
Dad!
Gasped Jimmy, forgetting he'd decided to call Archie father to show how grown up he was. Archie grinned sheepishly. He was wearing a leather jacket with huge padded shoulders and covered in metal studs. His wispy hair was gelled and plastered back over his bald patch.
I'm going away for a while. I think I need to be on my own for a bit and find out what being free is really like.
Archie muttered.
Wow,
said Jimmy.
You look really different.
Yes.
Archie grinned, turning pinker.
And that's not all. Did you see the motorbike parked outside the building?
Not.
Jimmy gaped.
Not the really cool, huge black one with the flames painted on the side.
It's mine,
said Archie.
I bought it. I'm going to ride out into the country and feel the wind in my hair and go really, really fast and leave all the smoke and traffic behind. I've got to go.
Wow. Wow.
Jimmy stared. Finally, Mrs. Pruner found her voice.
You can't just go,
she whimpered.
Archie, you can't just go.
Archie paused and reached into his jacket. He pulled out a pair of dark black sunglasses and put them on. When he spoke, his voice rumbled and boomed in a way it had never rumbled or boomed before.
I'll be back,
he said, and shut the door behind him. For a few minutes there was complete silence in the neat little house. Then Jimmy started to laugh.
If you left the bird in a cage, you have to make sure that it's not like, it has to have some freedom, but you can't always have it out of a cage because they get too used to it and it want to keep on coming out.
Some birds might get eaten or something bad might happen to them because of the other bigger birds that live in the wild.
My budgie can talk, he can say some words, he can say taxi, and he can say my name. And one time when I let my budgie out, he landed on my head and I bit my ear.
Mrs. Pruner didn't move. A few muscles in her cheek twitched. Finally, in a hoarse, trembling voice, she spoke.
Jimmy! Get me that bird!
Jimmy stopped laughing.
No, I won't.
Archie has gone. Gone!
Mrs. Pruner wailed.
I need the glowing bird to keep me company. You said you'd get it for me.
That was before.
Jimmy trailed off.
Before what?
Mrs. Pruner asked suspiciously. Jimmy spluttered.
Well, saw the bird. And really, Mum, it's magic. It's amazing. It's wild and free, just the way I want to be. And I won't have any part in catching it. I hope it stays free forever.
Mrs. Pruner watched him closely.
I don't believe you,
she said slowly.
You made that up because you're too lazy to try to catch the bird. I don't think you ever even saw it.
I did.
Jimmy stamped his foot.
I didn't just see it. I touched it.
Rubbish! You were working in the office all day. I suppose the bird just flew in the window, huh?
She snorted.
No, it did not fly in the window. I sneaked up on the office roof and the bird came and landed right next to me.
Jimmy snapped. His mother jumped up and down with excitement.
Of course! Oh, it never lands on the streets or the fields. It comes down to rest on the roof of the office. The highest building in Erblin.
Now Jimmy saw his mistake.
You tricked me,
he gasped.
That's because you're a fool,
snapped Mrs. Pruner.
I told you you couldn't take care of yourself.
What? No, Mummy!
Jimmy yelled. Mrs. Pruner was already tearing down the net curtains on the window. She turned to him, eyes bright.
You and your father. You thought you were so cool, being selfish and making yourself happy without a thought for me. But I'm going to catch a little happiness for myself.
Her long, flowery frock flowing around her, she clutched her net curtains and steamed out.
It sings to it, twitty-twitty-to it, it's a bright glowing bird. Sings just for me, flying up, flying high, looking over the sea. It's a bright glowing bird, and it sings cause it's free. Singing to it, with twitter, twitter, to it, truly. It's a bright glowing bird, what else should it be?
He tried to think of some clever plan to stop her, but nothing came into his head, so he just dashed after her, jumping up and down to see over the crowds on the streets. Horns beeped and cars swerved around Mrs. Pruner as she charged across the street. Jimmy made himself run faster. Mrs. Pruner burst into the office building.
Do you work here?
Asked a brave receptionist standing in her way.
None of your business.
Barked Mrs. Pruner. The receptionist knew that only someone very important would be that rude, so she hopped out of the way and let Mrs. Pruner get into the lift. By now, Jimmy had reached the office and was dashing up the stairs. He'd forgotten how many there were. The lift opened with a ping, and Cedric got in. He stared at Mrs. Pruner.
Mrs. Pruner!
He yelled.
You shouldn't be here. You don't work here. I know you don't.
He looked at the net curtains in her hands and frowned.
Are you still trying to catch that bird?
Shut up, Toad!
Barked Mrs. Pruner, but this time it didn't work because Cedric knew that she wasn't any kind of boss.
I'm going to stop you,
spluttered Cedric, diving for the buttons to stop the lift. Mrs. Pruner grabbed him and threw him against the wall.
Oh, no, you don't!
She growled. Far below, Jimmy puffed up another flight of stairs, and the glowing bird took what might be its last flight. Cedric struggled against Mrs. Pruner. He nearly made it to the buttons before she threw him against the wall again. With a roar of triumph, she ripped some wires out of the lift and used them to tie his feet and arms tightly. Mrs. Pruner was very good at tying people up, but she didn't know much about machines. People who know anything about machines will tell you that ripping wires out of them is not a very good idea. Mrs. Pruner found out why it's such a bad idea when the lift stopped completely. The lights went out, and loud shrieking sirens blasted in her ears. Far below, Jimmy crawled up a few more steps, slowly catching up.
Make it work!
Mrs. Pruner shrieked at Cedric.
No, you're crazy,
said Cedric, tied up and wiggling. Mrs. Pruner wasn't listening. She punched a hole in the roof of the elevator and tried to crawl out. Cedric grabbed onto her high heels with his teeth to hold her back. She kicked her shoe off and disappeared through a hole in the roof, leaving Cedric with a soggy high heel in his mouth. Mrs. Pruner stood in the lift shaft, grunting in a fierce, scary kind of way. She grabbed a hold of the cable, braced her legs on the wall of the shaft, and started to climb. Jimmy climbed the stairs on legs like rubber. He was slowly catching up. With a little fluttering of feathers, the glowing bird landed on the office roof.
I wouldn't put a boar in the cage, and I think that God made boars to be real free and definitely not into cages, because that would be like someone putting you in a cage all day, and like, but you'd want to run free. It's like the same with cats and dogs and all on leads. That's like, you're not letting them run free what a walk should be like.
I have a parrot, and he's a cockatoo, and he can talk and sing. He's like singing the Wizard of Oz song. So sometimes my dad whistles it, he does it after him, and you have to make sure that when you're going out somewhere, you have to make sure that it's in a cage, because if you left the board out of a cage, it could go anywhere.
A soft breeze blew over the wide, flat roof of the office. With a little pitter-patter of feet, the glowing bird scrabbled around. It paused and preened its bright, clean feathers. A strange squealing sound echoed across the roof and bounced off the clouds. The glowing bird cocked its head and listened. The squealing sound grew louder. A pair of heavy metal doors started to quiver and shake. With a long, rasping squeal, the metal doors started to open. With a shuddering heave, Mrs. Pruner flopped out of the lift shaft onto the roof. She was a sight to be seen. Steam rose from her flowery dress and her nostrils flared wide. There was a wild look in her eyes and her huge chest heaved. The glowing bird took a few steps back. Just then, on the other side of the roof, another door burst open and Jimmy ran up out of the stairs. The two Pruners trembled and gasped and waited to get their breath back. They stared at each other, and then at the glowing bird. Jimmy stepped towards the bird.
"Shoo!"
he yelled.
"Shoo! Fly away!"
He waved his arms, trying to scare the bird. The glowing bird backed away from Jimmy, and toward Mrs. Pruner, who gripped her net curtains and grinned. Jimmy leapt forward again.
"Fly, you stupid bird!"
he yelled. The glowing bird backed away from Jimmy with a loud, frightened call that shivered up their bones. Mrs. Pruner shut her eyes for a moment. It was a long time since something had touched her heart. It had grown a little rusty from neglect, a practical pump instead of the ear of the soul. Far out, on the long straight road that led away from the Erblin sprawl, zooming like the shadow of racing clouds, A motorbike zipped through the open fields and set the tall grass dancing. Archie Pruner let the wind blow his long, wispy hair back until it streamed out behind him. His bald patch gleamed uncovered and winked in the sunlight. Back on the roof, a look of peace and wonder spilled over Mrs. Pruner's face.
"It's so magical,"
she sighed. Jimmy smiled at her.
"Yes, yes, it is. I tried to tell you. Now you understand?"
"Yes."
Mrs. Pruner smiled sadly, her eyes misting over.
"Now I understand."
She threw the net. The frosty breezes of the fresh air lifted the net and spread it out. It spread out like a hawk spreading its wings. It glided like a kite. It landed like someone's tattered net curtains landing on a beautiful glowing bird. The bird struggled a little, croaked once, and fell silent. Jimmy yelped.
"Mother, how? How could you do that? I thought you understood."
"I do understand,"
Mrs. Pruner explained gently.
"But I couldn't let something that beautiful fly away. It might never come back, you know."
She gathered the netted bird up, carried it over her shoulder and walked to the staircase. Her heart thrummed and quivered with the thrill of owning. Jimmy Pruner hung his head and trudged down the stairs after his mother. Far out on the long straight road, Mr. Pruner's motorbike spluttered, coughed, and rolled to a stop. He'd run out of petrol. Mrs. Pruner unlocked the door to her home with an empty clicking sound. She strode over to Buster's cage and swung the little door open. Buster raised his heavy head. With a rustling of net, the glowing bird plopped down beside him. The bird landed on the floor of the cage and ruffled its feathers. Mrs. Pruner swung the heavy cage door shut with a clang. She watched the two birds eagerly. The glowing bird hopped onto Buster's perch beside him and hunched. Under the ruffled lamps, his feathers didn't seem as bright and glowing as they'd looked outside.
"What shall we call him?"
Mrs. Pruner asked, trying to sound bright and cheerful.
"Whatever you want,"
Jimmy muttered sulkily.
"I'll have no part of this."
"Well, the other one's called Buster, so why don't we call this one Bubbles? Bubbles and Buster. Isn't that cute?"
"Too cute,"
Jimmy said heavily.
Well... Oh, we could call him Glowworm, because his feathers glow so brightly."
"They aren't glowing now,"
Jimmy sighed.
"Oh, we could call him Silver Singer,"
Mrs. Pruner said.
"He isn't singing,"
Jimmy muttered. Mrs. Pruner poked her finger through the bars of Buster's cage.
"Sing,"
she growled. The bird blinked up at her. She banged the cage with the flat of her hand.
"Sing! Sing, 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 sing!"
The bird sang. Mrs. Pruner closed her eyes and waited for the tingles. But the tingles didn't come. The not-so-glowing bird's song was thin and warbling. It was the kind of song that made you want to sit in a dark corner and play the harmonica. It made your insides feel heavy. It made your face droop from your skull. It made your shoulders hang off your ribs and your knees bend under the weight of holding your body up. Far out on the long straight road, Mr. Pruner grabbed his motorbike by the handles and pushed it slowly back to the city. His leather jacket was stuck to his back with sweat, and you could fry an egg on his bald patch.
"But I think birds should stay in cages, but only sometimes, like
let's say if a bird had a broken leg or something, keep it in until it gets better, and then let it go, because there's no point of having it. Like, let's say, because we're humans, and just because we don't have to be locked in cages doesn't mean we have the right to put anyone else in a cage, just because they're smaller than us.
Sometimes I see dogs getting led around on a leash, but I don't think it's fair, because say that would be like a big person coming over to you and tying a rope around your neck and dragging you everywhere. But I think dogs should just be let go and run around everywhere.
It was so funny once they couldn't get up off the couch.
Jimmy and Mrs. Pruner sat side by side on the sofa listening to the not-so-glowing bird. With an effort, Jimmy opened his mouth enough to groan.
Now do you see why you can't keep him?
Mrs. Pruner's head was too heavy to nod.
Oh, yes,
she moaned.
But how was I to know?
You know now.
Jimmy groaned back. His jaw ached from talking.
Will you open the cage and let him free?
Oh, okay.
They sat for a few minutes without moving.
Oh, I don't think I can get up off the sofa.
Mrs. Pruner groaned. Her eyelids drooped heavily.
Would you do it?
She asked Jimmy.
I don't think I can get up either.
Jimmy moaned.
Sorry.
Maybe if you put your fingers in your ears.
Mrs. Pruner suggested dully.
My arms are too heavy.
Mine too.
A few more minutes passed.
I suppose we'll just have to wait for him to stop singing.
Jimmy mumbled. Night dropped down over the city of Erblin, and finally the singing faded away. But by then the Pruners were both asleep. The awful, droning singing woke them both up on the next morning. Orange sunlight flooded through the windows onto the cage, the bonsai trees, and the two Pruners on the couch. Dust floated down onto them. Buster ruffled his shaggy, dusty feathers and sagged under the weight of the not-so-glowing bird's song. The song made him feel heavy inside, filled him with a sadness, a despair that he wanted to express. He opened his dry, croaking beak and, for the first time in years, started to sing. Every day of boredom and bars had added its own little bit of heaviness to Buster's song. Buster's song could flatten fizzy drinks and knock butterflies out of the sky. It made even your earlobes ache with their weight. The sofa let out another creaking groan as the Pruners sagged into it. While the orange sun rose higher in the smoky sky, Buster and the not-so-glowing bird eyeballed each other and sang droning duets.
I can't stand it.
Mrs. Pruner gritted out through teeth that wouldn't open.
This is all your fault,
gritted Jimmy.
Shut up,
gritted Mrs. Pruner, but she didn't have the energy for a proper row. A jangling of keys sounded outside the door. With a clang, Archie Pruner walked into the room.
I don't want to stay long,
he said awkwardly.
But I forgot to take enough money for petrol, and I didn't want to sell my jacket, so...
His voice trailed off.
What is that awful singing?
He asked.
Why are you both just sitting there on the sofa?
Never mind that,
Mrs. Pruner gritted.
What did you say, dear?
Asked Mr. Pruner. Jimmy could see the floating wisps of his hair already flattening from the song.
Dad,
he murmured.
Open the cage door.
Why?
Blinked Mr. Pruner, and Jimmy saw that his eyes didn't open so wide after the blink. Jimmy would have panicked. if he had the energy.
There's no time. Just do it,
he moaned.
Why haven't you done it yourselves?
Mr. Pruner asked.
We can't move,
they answered.
Oh dear.
Archie looked worried and staggered over to the sofa.
Are you stuck there with glue? Are you tied there with tape? Are you bound there with bandages?
No. Let the birds out.
But Archie was already trying to pull his wife and son up out of the sofa. They felt so heavy. He flopped down onto the sofa beside them for a quick rest.
Get up! Archie! Get up!
Moaned Mrs. Pruner.
Get up, Dad!
Gritted Jimmy. Archie paused.
I don't think I can. I know this will sound silly, but I feel very...
heavy.
The three Pruners groaned together, sitting in a row on the flowery sofa.
We're lost,
sighed Mrs. Pruner.
Lost.
Judging by their song, the birds agreed.
Is a bright glowing bird, is it singing for me? Is the bounce in my step and the milk in my tea? It's a bright glowing bird, is it singing for me? Singing to it, with twitter, twitter, to it, truly. Is a bright glowing bird, is it singing for me? As it flies through the skies, wonder what can it see? That bright glowing bird, which she sang just for me.
Night rolled in like a dark, smothering blanket. The light of the stars was hidden by smog. Dully, the droning duets died down in the darkness. The Pruners lay in silence, the sofa vibrating with their snores. Archie Pruner's eyes fluttered open as he heard something. Some important sound. It was a long time before he realized it was silence. The birds had closed their beaks. Archie reached inside himself for the strength to get off the sofa and open the cage. He ran his fingers over his leather jacket lovingly.
I'm not beat yet,
he grunted, using his tough leather jacket voice, and jumped to his feet. He pulled his dark glasses out of his pocket, put them on, and walked forward. After walking to a few tables in the blackness, he took the dark glasses off again. He swaggered to the cage as toughly as he could. In front of the cage door he paused. Something else was needed. A macho grin? Archie grinned. Still not perfect. He had to say something. Something right. Something cool.
Hey, birdies!
Archie said to the cage.
I have a tweet for you.
Archie paused again. With a sweep of his arm he opened the cage door, picked up the cage and pulled open the window. The birds slept on. Archie banged on the bars to wake them up. Squawking and ruffling their feathers, the birds jerked awake and fluttered out of the cage. They glided onto a telephone wire hanging just outside the window and perched side by side. Archie leaned out to watch them. The silver half moon came out from behind the smog and set his bald patch glowing. He put on his coolest face and winked at the birds.
Rock a bye-bye, birdies!
He said. The glowing bird turned and fixed him with one deep, dark eye. It called out one tingling note. Then it yawned, shut its eyes, and went to sleep on the telephone wire. The trilling note hummed in Archie's blood. He looked around carefully. reached into his pocket for the dark glasses and put them on again. No one would ever see how cool Archie Pruner looked in the light of the silver half moon, with his dark, mysterious shades, his leather jacket, and his folded arms. But for one glorious moment, he didn't care about being seen. Just being was enough.
It's not all about you, it's about him as well. Mm-hmm. So sometimes maybe you'll probably see him in the park or something, and you could like go over to him, like feed him bread or something, like anything like that. Like even talk to her or something like that, and then you might see it again or something like that. So it's better for the board.
Like, I was talking to my auntie, and my auntie says, you let your dog out and your turtle and your budgie. I thought your dog would have ate the turtle and the budgie would have poked the dog in the eye. And I said, no, they just get along, because they do.
The sun rose up on that morning and spilled its rays down on the city of Erblin. Jimmy blinked against the brightness of the light. It took him a moment to realise he couldn't hear the birds. He rolled his eyes to the side and saw the empty cage. For a moment he just stared. Jimmy wasn't good at mornings. Then he let out a mighty whoop and leapt to his feet.
Whoop!
The whoop made Mr. and Mrs. Pruner shoot awake and leap up as well.
What is it?
Barked Mrs. Pruner.
The birds are gone. The cage is open. Listen to that silence.
Jimmy boomed, spreading wide his arms.
Jimmy! Jimmy, you did it!
Gasped Mrs. Pruner.
No, I didn't. Didn't you?
Jimmy asked. They looked at each other in puzzlement. Then, slowly, they turned to look at Archie Pruner.
Did you?
Mrs. Pruner and her son boomed as one. Archie just put on his shades and stood there, looking mysterious and a little bit smug. Mrs. Pruner's jaw dropped.
Wow, Dad,
whispered Jimmy. He and his mother walked over to the window and peered out.
There's the glowing bird on the telephone wire.
Jimmy grinned and pointed. Mrs. Pruner frowned.
But there's two of them.
And there were. Two sleek birds with long blue tails and bright red crests perched side by side. Jimmy squinted at the second bird for a moment before answering.
I think that's Buster,
he said doubtfully.
Buster!
Yelped Mrs. Pruner.
Oh, it can't be him. He looks like the other one. How come I never noticed before? Anyway, Buster's dirty. He must have been preening.
The two Pruners gasped together. The birds opened their dark eyes and blinked at the Pruners. The glowing bird opened his beak and gave a long, tingling warble of early morning song. Buster listened for a moment, then joined in. The bird's song rose and fell in waves, growing louder and louder until the homeless people on Pinchpenny Corner could hear it over the traffic. They lifted their heads and smiled. The glowing bird trailed off and let Buster finish the song. His smoky warbling built up and up until it finished on a quivering call that was wild and musical all at the same time. Buster held the note for a few tingling minutes before letting it die away into echoes and sighs. The telephone wire hummed under him. He blinked at the Pruners, cooed once, and launched himself into the air. With a few beats of his wings, he was rising up into the frosty air and sunlight, and starting to glow.
Singing to with Twitter, Twitter, too, with truly, as we dance in the streets, and it sits in the tree, flying up, flying high, looking over the sea. It's a bright glowing bird, and it seems crazy sweet.
Archie Pruner picked up the money for petrol and supplies and turned to leave.
You're not going off on that motorbike again now, are you?
Asked Mrs. Pruner. Archie shrugged. He was just about to give his I'll be back speech when his wife interrupted.
Can I come too?
What?
Trembled Mr. Pruner.
You want to ride a motorbike with me?
Just try it.
Mrs. Pruner muttered. Mr. Pruner blinked at her for a moment without speaking. A crease appeared between his eyebrows.
Are you sure?
He asked.
No,
Mrs. Pruner answered.
Isn't it wonderful?
A smile spread over Mr. Pruner's face. He winked at his wife.
Come on, then.
Mrs. Pruner giggled and they hurried out the door together.
Wait a second.
Jimmy yelled. His parents paused on the doorway. Jimmy stared at them, his eyes wide.
What about me?
Mrs. Pruner smiled.
I expect you'll be able to take care of the house while we're gone.
Really?
Jimmy grinned slowly.
Really?
Mrs. Pruner answered.
Anyway, I'm sure your mother will want to turn back soon.
Archie added.
She'll make me turn the bike around so she can come back and take care of you again.
Ah-ha!
Boomed Mrs. Pruner. Jimmy watched from the window as his father got on the motorbike, his mother clinging on behind him. With a roar of the engine, the bike started, and Jimmy's parents zipped away through the traffic. Jimmy blinked and looked around at the apartment. It was all his. His! He gave a whoop.
Woo!
Suddenly he saw that the house, the ruffles, the bonsai trees were all beautiful and wondered why he'd never noticed before. It was the perfect place to live. And he could save up his rent money to buy a motorbike.
You've been listening to The Arpling Chronicles, a series of children's storytelling hours by Bridget McCone, produced by Heather MacLeod. Today's story was Bonsai Empty Nest, read by Bridget McCone. Featuring music written, produced and arranged by Tricia O'Keefe, and additional commentary and insight from the girls of St Patrick's Girls National School Rings End. This series was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. Actors in this week's show included Nicole Rourke, Brian Moriarty, Tom Eastaway, Gareth Stack and Christina Matthews. Tune in again next Wednesday at 2 p.m. here on 103.2 Dublin City FM, where next week's story will be Slime, read by Liam Geraghty. There's something oozing in the office. A slime monster bulges in the walls and snatches reports from the desks. But when humble basement worker Mal Weavis finds out about the monster, he finds himself trapped in the office's slime pit. Will he ever escape from the slime pit and tell everyone about the monster? And what will they do if he does? You can contact us about the series at heather@dublincityfm.ie. And you can catch up via podcast with the rest of the series at www.urblingchronicles.podomatic.com.
Is a bright glowing bird, is it singing for me? It's the bounce in my step and the milk in my tea. It's a bright glowing bird, is it singing for me? Singing to it, with twitter, twitter to it, truly. Is a bright glowing bird, is it singing for me? As it flies through the skies, wonder what can it see? That bright glowing bird, which it sang just for me. Singing to it, with twitter, twitter to it, truly. As we dance in the streets, and it sits in the tree. Flying up, flying high, looking over the sea. It's a bright glowing bird. It sings to it, with twitter, twitter to it, truly. It's a bright glowing bird, it sings just for me. Flying up, flying high, looking over the sea. It's a bright glowing bird, and it sings drowsy sweet, singing to it, with twitter, twitter, to it, truly. It's a bright glowing bird. What else should